Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hello and welcome into the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I am National Recruiting Analyst Cooper Patagna, joined by the Director of Scouting at 24/7 Sports, Andrew Ivins. And Drew, it's a working title for us right now, but we're going to call it the two-minute drill, even though it's probably going to extend past 25 minutes. But we had a really good show last week on Wednesday. I think this is going to be a really good show. I like the topics. We're a little bit more flexible. We can have a little bit more fun with it. And this one, Drew, I think this is a fun exercise for us with the NFL draft only a couple months away. And the guy that has been stealing all the headlines in the NFL has been Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, four-year starter at Iowa State, originally from the state of Arizona. And this is a guy we're going to talk about throughout the show. And for us, the exercise is pretty simple. Ranked 144 through 247, or outside of the top 247, we're going to have to each pick a guy that could be the next Brock Purdy. That being said, that's going to be really difficult. Brock Purdy is the exception to the rule. I don't think anybody really expected much of Brock Purdy. He ends up finding the right situation. We talk about fit a lot on this show and why it matters. I think Kyle Shanahan is the most talented offensive-minded coach in the NFL, and that's saying a lot, especially when you got guys like Sean McVay out there. But Drew, this is a guy that, you know, a lot of people overlooked in the process. We're going to get to a couple quotes. I'm not sure if they're real. You know, there's that Nick Saban quote flying out there right now about talking about Brock Purdy on his visit to Alabama, saying he's below average in height. Your arm strength, its strength is quote unquote whatever. I can't imagine Nick Saban saying that. Your accuracy is average. Supposedly, that was said in 2018, but neither here nor there. We're going to get into it. But, Drew, good to see you, my man. I hate when I go 2 minutes into the show. You haven't even got a word in, so good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. You're good. Now, I kind of came up with this topic. Brock Purdy, I almost stumbled on his name right there, has been the story of the NFL playoffs. This was Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft, and now he is two wins away from the Super Bowl. And I actually kind of remember his recruitment a little bit down the stretch. He was a kid from Arizona, took all five of his official visits, and didn't decide until late in January, right before February's traditional National Signing Day. So that was, what, 5 years ago? This was the guy that was still deciding. Obviously, the college football landscape has changed a little bit in terms of kind of everyone knows where they're going heading into next week's signing day. But I thought it'd be a fun exercise to try to identify the Brock Purdy of the 2023 recruiting class. Now, we're going to tweak this a little bit. I mean, it's hard to project a guy that's going to be making a NFL playoff run. But I did think with the college football playoff expanding to 12 teams, all right, that's on the horizon. Why not try to choose a guy, like you said, that is outside of our top 150 or ranked as a three-star prospect. Hey, remember, three stars are players too. And try to pick a guy that isn't really known, maybe doesn't have a ton of hype around him, and someone that could ultimately lead their team to a college football playoff berth here in the coming years. So that's the exercise. I just wanted to get it all out there so it makes sense. But circling back to those Nick Saban comments, Cooper, you worked at Alabama's recruiting department. I saw that kind of making the rounds. I think I first saw it on the 24/7 Sports Instagram about what Nick Saban apparently said about Purdy. And I've been dying to ask you, like, that can't be him, right? He's not going to go tell some 16, 17, or 18-year-old in his office that the kid has an average arm.
So looking back at the recruitment of Brock Purdy, I mean, this is a guy that took official visits to Alabama and Texas A&M in Central Florida at the time when Josh Heupel was the head coach. So he had a lot of interest really outside of Iowa State. There are a lot of programs, especially blue-collar programs, that were doing their homework on Brock Purdy. It doesn't make sense to me that you would have a prospect on an official visit. So you would burn an OV and then have someone come to campus where they are a legitimate option at that point and then say what supposedly Nick Saban said. It sounds nothing like Nick Saban at all. And two, it wouldn't make a lot of sense for him to say that. He's really got nothing to gain there. So maybe something along those lines of somebody at Alabama where that was communicated to Brock Purdy word of mouth, and it just got regurgitated and it maybe got out of hand a little bit. And here we are, you know, social media in 2023, you know, it spreads like wildfire. But if I was a betting man, maybe he did say it. I doubt it. But it doesn't make a lot of sense to me why he would say it. But Drew, I kind of want to pull the curtain back a little bit. And, you know, I have PTSD from Quinshon Judkins this past cycle, and I'm reading some of the scouting reports that our friend Bruce Feldman at The Athletic was able to obtain on Brock Purdy coming out from NFL scouts. And, you know, it's pretty interesting in looking at Brock Purdy and saying, okay, looking at the resume all the way back to his high school career where he played his ball in the state of Arizona. And then as a four-year starter, I mean, you're talking about the most winningest quarterback in Iowa State history. And it was, you know, a guy that it was kind of like a perfect marriage between him and Matt Campbell, a four-year starter, a guy that was nails at home. I think he was 16-1 at home at Iowa State. So you look at the resume a little bit and you're like, okay, there's something there. But here are some of the quotes from Bruce Feldman on the knocks of the then 22-year-old. Quote unquote, sawed off, not a very good athlete, limited arm, both in strength and throw repertoire. Also, you know, you fast forward to the draft, Purdy's biggest strength. He was very experienced college quarterback, 48 starts at Iowa State, good game manager, made routine plays very consistently, creative as plays extended, and worked through his progressions very well. You read the article a little bit more and more, they say this, the aspects of Purdy's game that has really surprised scouts when they look back in retrospect is his mobility and his athleticism and his comfort outside of the pocket. So, you know, the other thing I want to say about this is I think back to when the 49ers selected Trey Lance, and there was so much buzz before that draft that Kyle Shanahan had zeroed in on Mac Jones from Alabama, who ended up going in the first round later to the New England Patriots. But right there at number three in that draft, that's who the 49ers were considered the heavy favorites to take. And they go with the upside play. They take Trey Lance, who only started 1 year at North Dakota State. And you fast forward, all of a sudden, Mr. Irrelevant, a few years later, is 9-0. And he's got two playoff wins under his belt. And you said it, he's two games away from playing in the Super Bowl. But the reason I bring that up, play style-wise, I don't think Mac Jones and Brock Purdy are very different. And for a guy like Kyle Shanahan, he knows what he needs to engineer his offense. And when they selected Brock Purdy, they saw enough of him, even at pick number 262, mystery relevant, the last pick in the draft, to say, hey, there's something there with this guy. And you look at San Francisco, all the tools that they have, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, Trent Williams on the offensive line. I mean, they are put together. That is a very talented roster that they have assembled there in San Francisco, and Brock Purdy in the middle of it. And you look back, Drew, like his high school career, three-year starter, 64% completion rate over his last two seasons, 99 touchdowns, 20 INTs, over 670 passing attempts from his junior to senior year. And the other thing that stands out, over 1,000 yards rushing as a senior and 10 touchdowns. Now, those numbers did not translate on the ground at the next level, but this is a guy that really knows how to play within himself. Iowa State, four-year starter, completion percentage was never below 65.7. Had a really good sophomore year. You can kind of say he plateaued his junior and senior year. Never threw more than 9 INTs. Never rushed for more than 400 yards. And like I said, winning his quarterback in school history, 30 and 17, 24 and 11 against the Big 12. You think about that mark for Iowa State, that's pretty darn good. And it's not like this team had a ton of talent, right? Like Matt Campbell did a really good job, but it's not like he had elite level talent around him. 16 at one at home, started 46 straight games. And then you look at what he's done in San Francisco, 9-0, 67%, 13-4 touchdown INT. He's only rushed for 22 yards, and he's only got one TD on the ground. I mean, the numbers don't blow you away, but he's super efficient. Last thing I'll say, Drew, because I know you love this part, dad played baseball at Miami. Sister played at Southeastern. Also Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Arizona. So that, I know that it was long-winded, but you start to look at, all right, what are the limitations on a guy like Purdy? And what does he do well, and why is he having success at such a high level in the NFL?
I think he's a case of not overstudying and overanalyzing, but kind of overthinking it. And you mentioned two things there. Plateaued was one, and then the average frame. I went back and looked. Purdy, before his senior season spring at one of the opening regionals, 6'1", 197 pounds, so it wasn't really going to blow you away. Didn't test, or I couldn't find any testing numbers. And then kind of the plateau, I think that's interesting and notable as well. I remember in 2018 when he burst onto the scene as a freshman, I think he started 8 games, went 6-1. And then it was kind of just a bunch of the same for the next 3 years. And Coop, I don't know if you know what like dynasty fantasy football is. I'm not sure if you know what that is, but
I can wrap my head around it.
Okay, well you can figure it out. Yeah, I used to be in a league, and you could draft guys that were still in college or high school. And Purdy's a guy that I drafted. I think this was in 2020, and then I ended up just releasing him because the hype had kind of died down in the stretch, and I'm no longer in that league, but. Purdy was a name that was so hot early on, and then it just kind of, like you said, plateaued, and he rode that into the NFL draft, and it'll be a fascinating one. It'll be fascinating to see just what the 49ers do and what his future holds, but he is certainly, I think, the story of the NFL playoffs right now as we gear up for another weekend of football.
I will say this. I mentioned it earlier. The X factor and Brock Purdy's success, and I am not taking anything away from Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan and the elite level talent around him that allows him to go out and execute and play his game. I just think he's a perfect fit in San Francisco. Yeah. Plays within himself, doesn't turn the ball over, knows exactly what they want to do. They do a lot of pre-snap motion. I think he's perfect for that. All right, so now that we have the rap sheet on Brock Purdy, now the fun part begins. Who is the next Brock Purdy? And I don't think that's really fair to say. So whoever's working at the national desk right now or on the social team and going to put that graphic together, let's not do that, right? Who's got the chance to maybe develop into this type of guy at the next level. I know there was a couple of names, Drew, that you and I both considered. We're going to talk about all of them. But I think for the sake of keeping this fun and enjoyable, each of us can only pick one guy. All right. And I'm going to let you go first. And it's a guy out of my region that I'm going to let you have. But that's Brock Glenn out of the Memphis, Tennessee area. He's on his way to play football for Mike Norvell in Tallahassee at Florida State. And a guy that a lot of people want it at the end of the process. But why do you think Brock Glenn's got a shot to get in the mix here?
Well, I want to clarify again. This is not saying he's leading a team to the Super Bowl or this is leading a college football playoff contender, right? That's what we said. That's how we kind of structured it because you keep going back and forth there. And I want to be clear for the graphic. So guy that we think isn't being hyped up as much in the 23 cycle that can lead his team to glory. And I do have Brock Glenn on there. Kid who was committed to Ohio State, flipped to Mike Norvell in Florida State. I think with Brock Glenn and Florida State, I love the fit. When he made that announced that he was changing his commitment, I went and I wrote a story about how I think it's the perfect marriage between Brock and Mike Norvell and Alex Atkins. We'll see how long Alex Atkins, the offensive coordinator, O-line coach, stays in Tallahassee. But to me, Brock Glenn, really, you wouldn't think he's all that similar to Jordan Travis, the current quarterback for the Seminoles, who is coming back for another season, and FSU has already launched a Heisman campaign. But I went and I watched Jordan Travis's senior tape. I watched Brock Glenn's senior tape back-to-back, dove into the numbers, and from a testing standpoint, like, they are identical in terms of what they posted coming out. And Brock Glenn, you know, didn't really light up the stat sheet as a passer there in Memphis, just 58% as a senior, 1,400 yards, 18 touchdowns, and just 3 interceptions. But he also ran for 443 yards and 7 scores as a senior. And from what I've seen at Florida State, they want a guy that, I don't want to say game managed, but someone that's not going to make a ton of mistakes. And Brock Glenn is careful with the football. He's comfortable running or throwing on the run, excuse me. He can get away with some RPOs. He can improvise. He can create. And I think that is everything Mike Norvell's looking for in a quarterback. And I know this because Norvell on signing day called him the quote-unquote total package. Other reasons why I picked Brock Glenn, I think – FSU's quarterback outlook, I'm stumbling all over my words this morning, post-Jordan Travis is pretty unknown. They have A.J. Duffy on the roster, Tate Rodemaker, who was the number two last season. But after that, Brock Glenn's there on the depth chart. We know Mike Norvell has been very active in the transfer portal. I could see a situation playing out where they bring in a transfer arm or a bridge type of quarterback as they prepare to get A.J. Duffy or Brock Glenn going. So Brock Glenn's my pick because of all those things, right? I think he fits the system. You talked about fit with Brock Purdy at San Francisco. I also think Mike Norvell is going to continue to build out that roster with playmakers there at Florida State. Hakeem Williams, just a big-time receiver they signed. They also signed Lucas Simmons, a big-time potential franchise left tackle. You rattled off of those weapons for the 49ers. Well, don't forget Trent Williams is also protecting Purdy's blind side. That's pretty nice if you're a quarterback that's in year one there in the playoffs. So that's why I got Brock Glenn. You can love it, Cooper, or you can hate it.
We're going to take a quick break. Keep it locked to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Just so I know, just to clarify, we're talking about quarterback kind of on the bubble. We're not in the top 247. That's on the outside looking in, that we believe can lead his program to a potential college football playoff appearance. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. All right. What I'll say on Brock Glenn, which is pretty interesting, you look at Brock Glenn, a couple of the other quarterbacks that we'll mention here in a minute, these quarterbacks, Drew, I don't understand the testing. The testing data for all these guys seems to be just
juiced up.
Above average to good, right? Brock Glenn, who's not known as a runner, 4.78. 33.5-inch vertical, 4.25 shuttle, 10.25 hand. I mean, he's like exactly what you want, you know. And then you see him throw the ball around at the Elite 11. He, just in terms of like, you know, I'm getting into the nitty gritty here, but mechanically really sound. And you kind of watch him and you watch him transfer his weight and his center of gravity. It's like a really beautiful golf swing. He's got a really nice follow through. And I agree with you. I think him going to a place like Florida State, we've seen the development of Jordan Travis over the last 2 years and really this year, and the job Mike Norvell has done with him. I think that makes a lot of sense for Brock Glenn. And talked about guys like Hakeem Williams, right? Those guys make you look a lot better than you actually are when you have a guy like Hakeem Williams on the perimeter, and you know, Goldie Lawrence as well, who we really like. And Florida State continues to attack the portal. So Brock Glenn, the pick for Andrew, for me. Andrew, I know you and I really talked about this guy, but the more I watch this guy, the more I like him. And that's Jackson Smolik from Iowa, signed and enrolled with Penn State. And I know our former producer Jesse is going to love that. But the number 34 quarterback, according to 24/7 Sports, we have an 87 rating on him, identical to what we had on Brock Purdy. Him and Brock Glenn within 5 pounds of each other, right? And a handful of other guys, we're going to talk about Sam Levitt here in a little bit. All three of those guys, 6'2", all within 5 pounds of each other at 195 to 200 pounds. Pretty interesting when you look
well,
at
again,
those guys.
I said Purdy, 6'1", 197 coming out. So
there you go. And then you look at Smolik, right? 4.78, 35-plus inch vert, 4.31 shuttle, 10-inch hand. So I mean, he's checking boxes there, but there's not a lot of historical statistical data on Smolik. I don't know if you found that either, Drew, but whatever.
No, because he missed most of his junior season with a collarbone injury.
Correct, but I really couldn't find that much this year, and maybe I didn't do enough digging there. Okay.
64% from about 1,900 yards, 19 TDs, 4 INT. Also ran for 136 and 3 scores.
Can work with that. So what I'll say about Smolik is formerly committed to Tulane, who's done a tremendous job, right, in the early identification. I think we saw that in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas and the job that Willie Fritz has been able to do. But, I mean, this guy, just in terms of like, you know, we talk about it all the time. I need to come up for an acronym of this, but he has the physical traits to develop at the next level and potentially get drafted. Like, that's not even a question to me. I think he showed that at the Elite 11. You turned that on the tape as well. To me, when I was going through this decision-making process, I wanted to see, like, or which one of these guys had, like, a little, like, spontaneous genius, as, like, Bill Walsh used to call it, right? Who can improvise? Who has a little magic in their game? And I really like Jackson Smolik. I like his ability to extend plays in and outside the pocket, his ability to keep his eyes down the field in terms of a physical tool set. He's got a really live arm. He's very sound mechanically. And this is a guy from a timing standpoint and accuracy standpoint I really like a lot. And you talked about Florida State and the surrounding talent that Brock Glenn would have. I love what Penn State has done the last two cycles. They've been really good. And they've set that up for Drew Aller. But in turn, they've set that up for whoever's next after Drew Aller as well. Done a really good job on the offensive line. You know, Javen Williams is a guy that we really love. Alex Burkmeier as well. You know, Carmelo Taylor on the perimeter. They have some speed there. You talk about the two backs. And Jackson Smolik might not play with a guy like Nicholas Singleton or Catron Allen. But I really love what Penn State has done. And to me, Drew, it's kind of funny. You look back at this and Marcus Stokes right now, who is struggling to find a home for a variety of different reasons, was committed to Penn State, flipped to Florida. And in my eyes, I can very comfortably say that Penn State came out on the better end of this. And they did a really good job turning their attention and pivoting to a guy like Jackson Smolik. I love the fit there. And I remember Sean Clifford coming out. I think this guy's got a little bit more than Sean Clifford in terms of physically what's in him. So I really like this guy. I think that would be my pick.
Yeah, I think it's the easiest pick. I kept texting you that's the one I was going to do, but I could tell that you were going to roll with that, so I had to go in a different direction. I think some other things to point out with Jackson. You brought up Drew Aller. If you're Penn State, this is kind of the perfect situation. Aller's expected to get the keys to the offense moving forward, but Smolik knew that Aller was going to be there all along in terms of our former number one quarterback last year. So if Aller, God forbid, were to go down with an injury, this is the perfect guy to kind of step in. And James Franklin on signing day, he called Jackson the steal of the class in terms of the quarterbacks in the class. Thought that was kind of interesting. You brought up the Tulane thing. I remember when Jackson landed his Elite 11 invite, I hit up my guys I know at Tulane, and they were fired up about him. They said that Jackson came down to a camp and threw alongside a bunch of other future Power 5 signees, and they thought he was the best of the bunch, and they were getting a steal. And what does Tulane know? Well, they found Michael Pratt, and they just beat USC in the Cotton Bowl. So I think they know what they're doing. And you brought up the weapons. I mean, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, the tight end they got in the 2023 class, like they are stocked on that side of the ball. And the final thing I'll say with Jackson, Trey Lance, number three pick in 2021. Drew Aller, number three overall player for us in the 2022 rankings. It's just kind of like a lot of parallels right there. So I think if you're a Penn State fan, you got to be happy that this guy is QB2 for you. And if he needs to get in there as QB1 at some point, we think he can win games and get them to a 12-team playoff, I think is what you're saying on Jackson.
I'm going to put you on the spot, our director of scouting right here. Okay, Andrew, I got a quick question for you. Right now we have Jackson Smolik as the number 34 quarterback in the country. We have an 87 rating on him. We got a little bit of wiggle room left before the next signing day. You know, I love this kid. Right now that would be like priority free agent. Good player. Definitely a guy that I'm sure you, me, Gabe Brooks, we'll continue to talk about, and I'm sure we'll hear from the Penn State faithful. All right, Drew, a couple of the other guys in consideration here. Sam Levitt, I think he was safe to say he was our runner-up for both of us, number 26 quarterback in the country, 89 rating. We really like this kid, kind of shot up the board late in the process, 6'1", 185 pounds, out of Westland, Oregon, formerly committed to Washington State. He's going to play his ball in East Lansing for Mel Tucker, 3-year starter, Gatorade Player of the Year. We've heard that before, over 3,000 yards passing, 36 touchdowns as a senior, 69% completion rate, can get it done on the ground too, had over 600 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns. You talk about the it factor a little bit. You turn on this guy's tape, I think he's got a little bit of that. The guy that has kind of come up as the comp has been Bo Nix, and it's kind of fascinating that this guy played his ball in the state of Oregon. I thought that he would have stayed in the Pac-12 footprint, but I really like this get for Michigan State. I think it's a steal. Dad played at BYU. Brother played at Utah State and BYU, now plays for the Green Bay Packers. So he's got it in the bloodline too.
I think he's got probably one of the best spray charts in terms of his different throws for the 2023 class. If you haven't seen it, he has some awesome stuff he did there as a senior at West Linn, led them to a 12-1 record, 6A state title in Oregon. From a statistical output, this is the closest, I think, to Brock Purdy, his senior season. He threw for just over 3,000 yards, completed 70% of his passes, 36-5 TD to interception ratio. He also rushed for 720 yards and eight TDs. I remember the first time I put on Sam Levitt and what he was doing as a senior, I said, hey, this, I don't know the level of competition, but this is by far the best athlete on the field. And I think that continues to show up. Great find for Michigan State. Sam was committed to Washington State, and they flipped him late. Mel Tucker said on, it was either signing day press conference or a few days ago, that it's an open quarterback competition there in East Lansing. So I think he's another guy that we should definitely talk about, and I think one that we've moved up in the rankings, and one that'll have a chance to probably outplay that final ranking.
He's a little bit of a baller, man. I like him. Love the fit, Michigan State. Like I said, for them to go all the way out to the Pacific Northwest, be able to reel a guy like that in, I know it kind of heated up for him late in the process. But, Drew, those are three quality guys, and I think you make a really good case with Brock Glenn. I don't think anybody's going to argue with the year that Florida State had with the talent that they got coming in. You talk about Jackson Smolik. We talked about him. He's going to go to a really good situation where he can sit and develop around behind one of the best talents in the country and a guy like Drew Aller. And you never know how it's going to work out. You know, like I just think about Penn State, going back to Smolik real quick, and I think about guys like Sean Clifford. I think about guys like Trace McSorley, right? So guys like that who have had success in the past, maybe Smolik kind of fits that mold a little bit. Is there another guy or two, Andrew, that maybe jumps on your radar as we were discussing this? I know there was one down in Mississippi that you really liked.
Yeah, Matt Coward, who is headed to Utah. I think I've said it on this podcast before or somewhere else, but a school that didn't even get Matt Coward and got him on campus, they kind of felt like he had it between the ears. And if you're noticing a theme here, I kind of listened to the signing day press conferences for all these different quarterbacks, and Kyle Whittingham, I think he was in the middle of like a Rose Bowl practice. He's all sweaty, but you got some local reporters asking him about Mac Howard and how they went and found this kid in Mississippi. And there's some tie the staff has to that state, and that's why they were involved there. But they felt like Mac Howard has everything that they're kind of looking for in a quarterback when it comes to both on and off the field. They think he's got some developmental upside. And I think Mac Howard just deserves recognition because we keep talking about it in this space. Like, Utah just signed its best recruiting class ever, or is putting the final touches on that. And they got some big boys up front, Spencer Fano, different offensive linemen. They got some perimeter talent out there. So Mac Howard, I think he could definitely be a guy where you look up in 2, 3, 4 years and you're like, wait, you know, who's this guy? How is this guy from Mississippi starting for Utah? Things got to definitely come together, but I think he could be a game manager for the Utes.
Kenny Minchie, another guy that comes to mind out of the state of Tennessee, flipped from Pittsburgh late in the process to Notre Dame. I like that kid, man. I think he's got a physical
set. He's a runner.
Yeah, well, he moves well in the pocket, super savvy. And I think that's part of it, just like the subjective part of the evaluation. We always talk about that. It's really kind of hard to quantify. And at the quarterback position, I would say that pocket presence, it's so important, especially when you're evaluating these quarterbacks. All right, Drew, we keep talking about it, but we have our 2023 top 247, our last release and our last update coming out tomorrow. So with that being said, that will come out in the evening, I believe 5 p.m. Eastern time, which means that our episode will also come out tomorrow evening as well. So if you're a listener to the show and you are patiently awaiting tomorrow's episode in the morning, just know, little PSA, that that will be out tomorrow afternoon after our rankings release drops. Drew and I, a lot to talk about. I don't even know what the rundown looks like. I think we talked about it a little bit, but it should be a good show tomorrow. Drew, any final thoughts before we 24 hours out here from the top 247? Got to be a little bit of a sigh of relief for you.
Yeah, man, I'm ready to get it over with and get through signing day. I just looked, it's going to be snowing in Nashville next week. So producer Lance, if you didn't know that, but he's from up there. So he'll be all set for that. Final thing for me, how about Duke taking this 2024 quarterback? I liked on late Tuesday night, Steve Wiltfong had this story. I'm going to butcher this kid's name. I think it's Haas Haney out of Texas, won a 6A state title. Pop on the tape of this guy. We talked about Rutgers, showed them some love last week, giving Duke a little love here. Riley Leonard and their offense was fun to watch last season. Well, Haas, he's a 10.68 kid in the 100-meter dash, and he can make some plays. So, yeah, that's my final thought there, completely from left field.
It's not that. I mean, you have a strange tendency. I mean, you talk about Duke a lot.
He's on the freaks watch list with that
freaks
with that,
watch list
with that.
I love it. All right, guys, we appreciate you listening as always, and do us a favor, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and any other podcast platform. Make sure you also leave a comment as well and give us a rating on there. Guys, we appreciate you listening as always. And for producer Lance Glenn, director of scouting Andrew Ivins, I'm Cooper Pataga. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.